Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for personal care. If you have or you suspect you might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of this radio show or their sponsors.
People of the world, let's get together. Let's all make this world a better place.
Welcome and thanks for joining us today on the Etana Healing Method Energy Works Radio Show with Healer Etana. I'm your host, Lori Z, and you're going to want to stay with us to learn about new energy healing modalities for people and animals to transform deeper issues. Tune in each week to learn how to live a healthier and more abundant life. Now, if you haven't been on the show before, Etana is a fabulous healer in Nashville. And so, Etana, for people who haven't heard about you maybe, and they're interested in energy healing, can you talk a little bit about who you are and how you became a healer?
Yes, I am simply a person that wants to support. How I became an energy healer, it's a complex story. Often I ask myself, how the heck did I get here? And what I'm realizing is it was a lot of the time of activations, of sensitizing, but a lot of mercy and a lot of grace. I think I always say by the grace of God, because ultimately, I'm happy that I had to see more in the beginning and that I get sensitized more so I can now really support others. But I had a pretty rough awakening times in my life where I all of a sudden got so sensitive that I could sense what trauma, what energies people held in their system. And I don't know if you know people, but if you know people, there's a lot going on in people's lives. And all of that I could actually sense. And I could feel it, and I could literally saw it in an IMAX situation, you know, like in a big movie screen that's 3D and IMAX, and you have the loudspeakers right in your seat. That's how I experienced it, you know. And then consider this as an action movie. Consider an action movie, and you're sitting in one of these seats where you have a loudspeaker literally right under your butt and on your back, and you're actually experiencing the trauma from people live. So in the beginning, it was pretty overwhelming. And then what happened is I retreated a little bit to get myself adjusted to it, because I got really sensitized to feel what happened on the planet, what happens with the earth, what happens with the individual, their past lives, their childhood, and what is happening in the moment. So I had a pretty amazing awakening there, where I had also some opportunities where I could really silently, I had to meditate. I had to seek out quiet areas that made me very early on appreciative of sacred spaces, you know, just going to literally to pilgrimages, you know, and enjoy like being in the mountains, being in quiet places.
More relaxing, I would think.
A little bit, yeah.
Now, yeah, I want to talk. I know in a past show we had talked a little bit about like entities and attachments. And can you talk about that a little bit? I'm asking you, I'm curious because I actually have my own experience, but maybe you can talk about entity attachments.
Yeah, well, there's people that have experiences with entities or with energies or phenomena that's going into the metaphysical, out of this realm into other realms. Everybody knows about the ghost stories and people that passed over or poltergeists, all kinds of stuff. But when you come across entities, these are life forms. They are not necessarily obeying the gravitational forces or the normal forces here in 3D. They're literally like intelligences, like parasitic intelligence, you could call them, because they're living off of your life force. And like a little parasite in the digestive system lives off the scraps that you're eating, actually not even the scraps, the parasite eats actually the best that you bring there, and then the excrements of the parasites being left over for your system to digest. But you have to look at this, it's very similar. A parasitic or vampiristic entity drains your life force and then leaves you with little to nothing, and you're wondering why you're feeling depressed or heavy or dark or in a way of dense, you know.
Now, can that entity follow you your whole life, or once you leave wherever it happened, the experience happened, that does it leave you? Or I'm asking you for specific questions because I'm questioning whether I have an entity attached.
At this point, I believe everyone has entities. I have not seen anybody on the planet that has not had an entity. The question is, how and when did you make these agreements? Because these entities, they're not just evil beings, you know. They're not just hanging around and just jumping on everybody without any reason. There is an agreement, a contract that has been made between the person and the entity. To the entity's defense, I have to say, these entities, they truly sometimes help us. For example, when you grow up and you're alone, and you're completely alone, and you ask a life force to support you, to be with you as your friend, and the next being that's around you is an entity, then you maybe made a poor choice, but you are not alone anymore. You know, if a person feels sometimes alone, they're doing silly stuff. A lot of people are getting depressed and suicidal. But when you don't feel alone, you feel like you're being part of the overall expression of life. And a lot of the entities that come to people when they feel alone. Now, I would highly recommend, instead of entities, attract yourself some angels, you know, call in Archangel Michael, call in Archangel Metatron, or Uriel, or Gabriel, or Raphael, you know, call the angels in to work with you. And especially as a child, when you have no clue and you just want to have a company, call in the angels, dance with the angels, you know. But a lot of people, they don't have that guidance. They don't know who to go to and where to turn to, and they just want company. So when we ultimately attract beings, we cannot be mad at them when they actually listen to us and they came. So now you have to define, it's like a group of friends that are really hanging out in the wrong circles, and you're going with them. And it's the same thing. And you say, look, guys, I don't want to hang out with this gang anymore. This is like too destructive. I want to hang out with the angels. You know, I want to go. And I'm not talking about the Hells Angels or something. I'm talking about like really in the light, you know, and get into a light frequency where you want to be with beings that are supporting and nurturing and caring for you. And you know they're not going to create something that's unhealthy.
Now, what about animals that have passed on? Can they come back as entity also? Because I had a dog that passed away a couple of years ago, and oddly enough, he blinds, like my dog used to kick the door, and the third blind down, they were vertical hanging blinds, for 2 weeks after my dog passed, just that third blind would move back and forth by itself, just like my dog was kicking it to go out. And there was no air vents. So, you know, something was happening, and I felt like, hey, my dog is here.
Oh, absolutely. Now, when the pets come back, they usually, I mean, you could label them as entity, but I would call them more spirits. I would call them more like known spirits that are returning. And you would probably have to differentiate. There's earthbound spirits. These are earthbound spirits that are forgotten that they're here on the planet and that they're past. So they don't really move on and they stay stuck. For example, if people have like heavy habits, for example, a person that goes to work 45 years, every day, same time, same place, same habits, and that habit becomes so heavy that it becomes a reality that's ingrained in the morphogenetic field. Now, when that person passes, that person might be still to the habitual behavior of that action, of that repetition, be pulled into that magnetic force of repetition because constantly wakes up certain time, goes to work, comes back, stamps the card. And after a while, even if they want to pass on, their habit is so strong that it keeps them here. That's an earthbound spirit. So when you have an earthbound spirit, for example, I had an experience where an earthbound spirit in a person's apartment complex was going literally through the bedroom every certain time in the morning, And what happened is every time that would take place, the person would, of course, be disturbed. And what happened is there was a factory in that area. Factory was torn down, and turned out there was a guy that worked in the factory. And the guy didn't know that the factory was not there, and that he didn't realize that he was passed over. And so he kept on going his same route.
Interesting.
Until,
you know,
we released him.
Yeah, I want to go to a break. When we come back, I'm going to actually tell you just enough, because I think you could sense through the phone what happened to me in my experience, and then I want to get your opinion on it. So don't go anywhere. We will be back with Tata in just a moment.
People of the world, let's get together. Let's all make this world a better place.
And we're back on the Atana Healing Method Energy Works Radio Show with the hero of Atana. And we have Anna on the line from Australia. Hi, Anna. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. We've actually been talking about entities and attachments. And so what I want to do, I'm going to tell you a story. I can't believe I'm doing this on the air, but I'm going to tell you a story of what happened to me when I was about 6 years old. My parents moved us from an apartment. It was me, my brother, my parents, into a home. Now, the very, very first night, and people will say people are crazy, but I actually saw a skeleton come out of the closet when I'm a little girl. I don't even know what a ghost is. I don't even know what a skeleton is. And I remember being very frightened. And I lived in that house until I was about 23. That wasn't like something happened every day, but there were some relatively serious, scary things that happened. But one thing that did happen every day in this two-story house was whenever I would be walking up or down the stairs, it was as if something cold would be passing me. So there were a number of things. My parents actually woke up one night when they heard somebody, stomping in the hallway and something heavy. And no, it wasn't me. And I didn't even wake up, and I'm a light sleeper. But for most of my life, it ended up as a pretty scary situation. And so I would not go back to that house by myself, like, forever. You know, so I when I did find out, when I was in my 20s, I was dating a fellow who said, well, I know why that's happening, because the original owner of your house, the teenage son, shot himself to death. Now, my parents knew this the whole time. I was very angry, but they never told me until I heard it from a friend. So I felt, I think the kid was a 15-year-old boy who killed himself, and for whatever reason, he had attached himself to me since I was a small child. But I never felt I could get rid of him, and my fright to go to my parents' house after I moved out by myself would never happen. So if they would go away on vacation, I'd have to bring somebody with me, because I literally could not go into the house by myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
When did you get rid of him?
Well, that's my question. I don't know if you ever do really get rid of them. I don't know. But when I would go into the house and I would bring somebody with me, I'm going to say probably, about 15 years ago, I didn't feel the same sense. But I always had such a severe fear of entering that house by myself. And I'll tell you, even when I was in school, junior high school, you know, I did extracurricular activities just so I would not have to come home by myself. I would want to make sure somebody else was home first.
Yes, that makes sense. Well, first of all, I always knew you had a skeleton in the closet. I'm glad you
know. I literally had one, yes.
I'm very
Thank
happy
you.
About this. And we have to air it out to... The one thing that I always experience when that happens is these beings, they attach themselves at a certain emotion that we hold. And that emotion usually is, like I said, very often is feeling alone, feeling abandoned, and also not being part of the group, of the whole. And it's beautiful when we work with these beings and we allow them to be part of life. Because ultimately, all is one. In my experience, all that we really want to support them with is recognizing that they're not separated, that they're part of this overall expression. We are just always so sensitive about it, and we just want to be very clean, like Lysol clean, and we don't want to have anything bothering us. When these beings right. come into our lives, we have to recognize why are they there, what do they want to tell us, and maybe they embody something that is very helpful for us to recognize. But ultimately, we are alive, and they're basically not in this dimension. What we can do for them sometimes is even just burn a candle for them, or support them in their transition, or send a prayer towards them. Because we are so fast scared, and we are so much in autopilot where we feel like, oh my God, what happened? Something is after me. No, it's you are actually probably invaded that person's space. That person was probably happy in the closet, and all of a sudden, you want to put your dresses in there.
I was a 6-year-old girl knowing what was going on. So for me, it was a pretty frightening experience. And I used to tell my parents some of the things that happened. And it wasn't until I was in my 20s when the incident happened where they woke me up at 3 in the morning and said, "Were you just out in the hallway stopping and breathing heavy?" And I'm like, no. I don't sleepwalk. Yeah. So at that point, they realized that there's something there, and what I'm saying is true, but they didn't let on until, like I said, until a friend told me, a few days after that, about the suicide in the house. I was terrified.
Interesting thought, Lori, interesting thought, and that's, I think it's very important that you mentioned that. We grown-ups take the children not immediately for serious when they tell us this, because you, as an extension of the family, were sensitive enough to recognize it, but they didn't let you in on the main information, right?
Right.
The main information is something happened there. And so it really gives us an idea how we grown-ups really need to be more assertive, more listening to the children, and be more sensitive, because the extension of our beings, literally the children, they are so sensitive that we can utilize this information to better our lives. Instead, often we ignore what they're bringing to us, and now, can you imagine if they would have shared with you, set you down and say, look, something serious happened here. That person died and passed. And they were so scared, they probably didn't even want to talk about it. So
I'm sure. I mean, for years I closed my closet door. No matter where I lived, where I lived to, I had to close the closet doors just because that's how, terrifying it was at that point. So to this day, yes, I close the closet doors.
Can I suggest something, Lori?
Sure.
I think you have to come out of the closet.
You made me laugh. Well, let me ask Anna, have you ever had an experience with something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think a similar thing for me, Lori. I never saw anything, but where we lived in our house as a little girl, both my sister and I would get scared there when, we were ever by ourselves. And I never saw anything, but it was a general feeling of unease. And I still have that feeling sometimes when I go into certain places. Mm-hmm. And as an adult now, I'm able to calm myself a little bit more. But, yeah, that feeling does occur to me. And if I would ever say, I can't go into that room or I can't go into that house by myself. Sometimes I'm sure my extended family, my sister-in-law, and think I'm crazy. They say to me, "Are you joking? Are you serious? You can't go into that place?" And I say, "It doesn't make me feel safe. I don't feel safe going in there by
myself."
That's
it. Exactly.
And I can't tell you why. There isn't any rational reason why I should feel that way. But this is what is happening for me, and I have to be, I have to honor that. And I can't necessarily, I don't feel like I can change that feeling or cover it up. I just have to be honest and just say, that's not a safe place for me to go by myself.
Yeah. See, the other thing for me too was if I have dreams, okay, I used to have very repetitive dreams that I would pull back, sucked into the window of this original house I'm talking about. I would wake up screaming. I mean, I would really wake up screaming. So now when I go to sleep, I try, meditate beforehand or think of pleasant thoughts. and not allow my mind to go back to that house. Because once I see that window, it's like I'm sucked right back into the nightmare, and it's very unpleasant. So, again, I have had it for probably a few years, but I had it for many years.
Do we have a moment, or is it better to come back after the break? I have a story to tell about the experience.
That's right. Let's take a quick break. Let's take a quick break, and we're going to talk more on that with Anna and Anna. Back in a moment.
People of the world, let's get together. Let's all make this world a better place.
And welcome back on the Atana Healing Method Energy Works radio show. If you would like to call in live and ask Atana a question, you can call in at 888-627-6008. Atana, I was kind of telling you and Anna a little bit about my scary nightmare dreams. I don't know, you know, I haven't had them, fortunately, for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe for someone who's listening who has those kinds of dreams, because there's got to be other people, you know, who have go through similar experiences, then what do you recommend that they do?
Well, I work with a lot of people who are actually being disturbed paranormally and multidimensionally. I work with people who have been affected by all kinds of beings and who are actually still look for a solution with that, where these beings have put implants in them or lowered their frequency. The overall topic is always the same. The overall topic is basically being suppressed in your own life force, being suppressed in your own expression, in your full expression of life. That the theme is like literally always the same. It's either parasitic, like draining you not to live up to your fullest potential, or you know, something that really suppresses you from doing what you really need to be doing. And often these intentions have been there first, and then the entities came to fulfill your intention. So first we have to find out, why is it that I feel I have to be compromised? Because that's a belief system. And then they come in because you open that door of that belief system of being compromised. If you recognize you don't need to be compromised because you need to fully express your purpose, then that happens rarely. But it happens. When I work with people and I'm giving an entity clearing or handling class myself this Friday, the next Friday, and the following Friday here in the studio, how people can literally start clearing themselves from entities and attachments, but not like as just getting rid of them, but recognizing how did I attract them in the first hand. And there's all kinds of beings.
Amazing.
There's demonic beings.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and there's all kinds of beings out there. I mean, there's all kinds of beings. And we have to find out, you know, I have like almost to a level, I mean, I have seen people literally on a session jumping off the table while they're laying flat on the table, like literally like 3 feet up straight. They could not even propel themselves up there. That's just kind of like from the muscle way, just impossible. And literally jumping up and voices are changing. I mean, there's levels that I have to tell you that I experienced, they're very intense. But ultimately, I'm in a place where I support all beings, and even the entity is a being. So I want to support the entity, too, to go into their own transformation, into the light. And, you know, some people attract entities because they don't want to really go into their full expression of light and love. And some, they just kind of like merely look like more like victims. But either way, I'm supporting the entity and the person to be in their best. And then I allow the entity to be released into the greater central sun, into their light, into their own healing, so that the person can move on into their own self-expression and purpose themselves. But ultimately, these contracts have been made in this lifetime or past lifetimes, and you have to find out, where have these contracts been made and why should they be still valid? Is it time to renegotiate this contract? Is it the best for both involved? And if not, then you have to part ways. You have to go like in your different directions.
Got it. You know, and I've read that children are more open to things like this, to seeing things, because they're more innocent, whereas adults just kind of shrug it off.
Yeah, very, very much. We are, as adults also, you don't have always the time to deal with it. When you are constantly busy and you're dealing with your daily routine, you created so much of your daily activities and energy focus and dynamics. There's so much in place. There's really nothing that can disturb it. But as a child, you're like open. You watch the whole world as it's unfolding. And you see also like right. into the different spaces. And then these entities, they often are visible into the darker areas if you have the time to look at it, you know?
Right. So, Anna, do you have any comments on that?
Well, it's just so fascinating because every time what will often happen, I'm in a different time zone to you guys, but I will often sit and meditate before I have this session, on air, and I'll think about what I want to say. And so often what is talked about, for example, is part of the questions that I want to ask. It's just, that always amazes me in itself. But right. like you, I as a child used to have quite violent dreams where people would come out of the shadows and beat me up or I'd drown in a really shallow puddle or, quite violent, terrible things. And I didn't watch violent movies. And I stayed away from violent video games, and I would have never have seen this, but this violence came to me in the night, and it really stayed with me till I was quite a bit older. And so I completely understand what you're talking about. Like, I've had a huge amount of that in my own life. It's an interesting thing.
You're being chased by something, but you can't see it because it's a shadow, so you don't know what it is. And you usually wake up screaming right before it's about to catch it.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing. And I often had thought that had been connected, and maybe it is entities, but I'd often thought that as I grew up, that was part of some past life stuff that was also still connected with me. And I've done quite a lot of work with that through Atana's methods to help clear that. It doesn't seem to trouble me so much anymore. But it is an interesting theme that I've heard a number of friends talk about, not all my friends, but certain people that I would say are maybe more in tune with energies, if you would like to call it that word. Yeah, it's a theme that I've recovered too.
I just have one thing. Go ahead.
Sorry, Larry. What was that?
That's okay.
I just wanted to ask on that daily thing, Atana, that you just brought up then about when you're an adult and everything starts to, you're so busy in your life. And one of my questions to you today was, I find I'm so busy. I've got 3 kids, under the age of 9. We run businesses. There's always 1,000 things happening. And sometimes I just get a feeling that comes up in me that I'm just unsettled. And I think, I make time for meditation every morning. Make time. However, sometimes things just come to me and I get this unsettled feeling, and I might walk because walking really helps me try to connect with what's going on. But sometimes I just can't hone in on what that feeling is. And I wanted to ask you, how as an adult can you give us some techniques, or give me some techniques specifically, to when you're feeling that feeling and you don't necessarily have time to connect to it, like I don't have time to meditate because I've got to cook dinner for 3 hungry children, how is the best way I can focus in on that? Because that's what I want to transform.
If you sense there is an emotion or an energy underneath that you want to address or that you want to bring to the surface, a very easy approach would be, you're naming even, you're asking it to become present, and it can come up to an epiphany, it can come up to an insight, it can come up as a emotion, but you can of course get to the sacred inner dialogue to it very fast. But my favorite thing is doing energy work, and through the energy work, you get all these insights. They're all coming up to the surface because you're clearing the channel. And even in a busy day, in a busy life, I always find at least a 3 to 5 to 10 minutes of energy work that I can sneak in there and do my energy work, where this is just my time, or half an hour or an hour, because I do also have my yoga workouts. I do like, I love to do the hot yoga. I love to do the bar workouts. I do love to walk or run and do even, you know, even go to the studio to do some weight training. Because what I realize is getting myself, getting the body in a way satisfied opens up the channel so that your information can come effortlessly. When the body is in a neglect state where the body still feels like, hey, I haven't gotten enough attention, then the body will come in front of it as the ego and say, no, no, you have to do this. This needs to be done. That needs to be done. And the moment when your body is in this state where you actually took care of it, then the body will step by side and actually let you go to your higher faculties.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's an important thing to do, I think, for me on a daily basis. Go ahead.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah.
We're going to go
sorry,
to
I just changed topic a bit. Yeah, I just changed topic a bit, Laura. Sorry.
That's right. Sorry, guys. We're going to go to a quick break. For anyone who wants to reach Atana direct, the number is 615-202-6950. Or you can go to Atana Method, spelled A-T-A-A-N-A method.com. And we will be right back.
People of the world, let's get together. Let's all make this world a better place.
We're back on the Atana Healing Method Energy Works Radio Show. Atana and Anna. Anna, do you have some more questions for Atana? We've been talking about some scary things, I think, a little bit. So what would you like to add?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to, because Atana said he had some techniques. Sorry, I changed topic just at the end there. But Atana, I'd love to hear, you were saying to Laura that you had some suggestions for managing those dreams and everything, and I'd love to hear about that.
Yes, one of my fast ways to deal with it is utilizing a stone that works with dream work, like an amethyst, an ametrine, a citrine, to clear the energy fast. I like everything that's effective, really. And the stones, I came to the stones because they help effectively shift my energy and tune me into these dimensions very fast. So, for example, if I go with a Nirvana quartz, it helps me to connect to my enlightenment consciousness. If I go with an amethyst, it helps me to do some dream clearing. If I have a Numite, it helps me to clear certain energies from the past. What I would recommend, if you want to deal with multidimensional interference, even a striped agate is good, an agate that helps you recognize that there's boundaries. Because what happens now in these times, the frequency gets higher and higher, the vibration gets higher, there's more consciousness, and the dimensions are bleeding into each other. So that means we are very much affected by other dimensions, and we can sense them more, and they can sense us more too. It might be even that we disturb the other dimensions, and they come back and say, hey, why are you disturbing us? And we don't really know, because we are so, I don't want to say obnoxious, but we are so present sometimes that we put our, like, interests in the foreground. And often when we get affected by other beings, the first thing that I'm seeing is like, oh my God, this is awesome. This is a party. There's another being that wants to be considered. And when that being comes to me, or even the disturbance comes to me, it's not disturbing. The disturbance is a disturbance. How I react to the disturbance is my own reaction or my own responsibility or my own choice. When a disturbance comes to me, and it reminds me of a gift, you know, of the story with the Buddha, for example, where there was a guy that went to the Buddha and he said, I really want to see if this guy is enlightened. And he goes to the Buddha and he insults him. Every time he's talking, he's insulting him. Every time he opens his mouth, he's insulting him. And, you know, they are very peaceful people. The Buddha is very peaceful. After the third day, the guy says, hey, I'm insulting you for 3 days. Is that not bothering you? And the Buddha says, well, you're bringing me a gift. If I don't want your gift, who does this gift belong to? So he didn't take that gift. And whatever life brings us, the question is, how do we Do we take it or do we look at it and say we keep it at a healthy boundary? Then we can look at it and we can decide if we make this our gift for today or if we choose to look at it, not to look at it. It will come back if it's not being looked at and if it is for us. But at the same time, we have choices. Every disturbance that comes to us, we can create a healthy boundary. The first thing I always do is when something wants to invade my space, is like, hey, give me a little bit more space. 1 second. I have to look at this not from the mouse perspective, but from the ego's point of view, where I can see sometimes the distance and that everything is one. And I can look at it and make a better decision. My first decision that I would make and my first choice would be looking at it from a mouse perspective and from an eagle perspective. And then thinking about, is this something I do need to look at? I need to reconsider. Is this serious? My mother was a dream reader, and she would say when certain things occur in your dream, like you see blood or you see this, or water means prosperity, or if you see something blood, the dream is basically, it doesn't count to that point because there's a neutralizer. Blood is a neutralizer. And often these insights, these key points are playing an important role. It's also creating knowledge about what are we seeing at, what are we looking at. Because not everything is as what it seems like, because our subconscious communicates with us through symbols, through ideas that it knows we can understand. It doesn't talk to us like I'm talking right now to you. Our subconscious and our higher self talks to us literally to our whole being. So when our subconscious talks to us, it wants us to recognize something. It could be a picture of the ocean, but it may just means we are thirsty. And you know, you think, why the heck am I thinking of an ocean? But there would be a very easy one. Now think about how our subconscious, how our higher self is communicating to us and how often we dismiss what it really tells us. Now think about recognizing everything as important. What if you are the most important being on the planet, in the universe, and whatever you feel, whatever you see, it has a very deep and important value? Now consider, it might not even make sense to us immediately. We might even recognize a brutality that happens on the other side of the planet. But at the same time, we have to bring it our consideration and our love, our unconditional love and healing into it. Whenever I see there is violence going on inside of me or outside of me, it needs to be connected to consciousness, to balance, to harmony, and to unconditional love. Because our core essence is unconditional love. However we have to create that bridge, we have to make it happen.
Okay, now I understand everything you're saying, and for adults, maybe that's fine. I was talking about earlier, though, for kids, you know, even though I didn't go to my parents, they had no idea what to even say. And so even nowadays, I think if something like that happened to a child, the parents are going to take them to a psychiatrist and say, you're crazy.
Okay. Well, yeah, and there's probably easier exercises that I could recommend, but the easiest would be do energy work. If you do energy work on a daily basis, and children can do energy work. I have seen children, I have trained children, they're like 4 years old, they're doing energy work. And they're doing the hand positions, they're clearing their system. Now, parents have to step back before they call their children crazy, because the children have a very strong awareness. You have to very, very much differentiate what you can take serious and what not. But that means you have to be also being educated as parent as what energetically is happening in your child. And I can tell you from experience, Anna, for example, an enlightened mother, she is treating her children truly like broadcasters of the universe. And she's treating them in a way where she recognizes how she can support them from an enlightened point of view. Now, if you just go and you just have 2 children and you have to work and you have a busy schedule and you don't have the time, here's the thing. Find the time. Find the space, because these beings are precious. These beings are the leaders from tomorrow. We have to get them we have to support them. We have to make sure that they have what they need to stay sane and intact.
I think you're right. And so I want one last commercial break. We've got a few minutes left after that, and then we'll wrap it up. Stay with us. If you want to go to a site, it's Atana, A-T-A-A-N-A, AtanaMethod.com. Right back.
People of the world, let's get together. Let's all make this world a better place.
And we're back with the awesome Atana. Great healer, Atana, and guest Anna. And so, Anna, I'm going to ask you, do you have any additional questions for Atana?
Well, I do. Thank you for asking me. One of them actually comes off this, what Atana was actually talking about before, whether these entities or beings that attach themselves to you it's because you're not reaching your full potential. And one of my questions I wanted to speak with you about today, Atana, is I'm away on holiday. I'm in the opposite season to you guys. It's really full-on summer here. It's really hot, and it's beautiful where I am.
Just rub it in. And rub it in, yes. Anna.
Send it over our way. Send it over. We're freezing.
But as I, you know, I'm away, I should be feeling fantastic. But what's coming up to me, I've got a lot more peace. You know, I'm not working at the moment. There are just these underlying things of slight agitation for me, and I haven't really been able to understand it. So this morning I meditate and I do my energy work first thing in the morning. And what came up to me is that actually, part of this frustration is not being able, all of them collectively, are me not being able to be at my full potential. And that's my goal. Like, my whole goal is actually backed off Atana's work for this year, which is to realize my full potential. That is the one thing, the intention I set every morning. So I've sort of sat with that and I thought, the difference of where I currently am to being in my full potential, I feel like that there's a gap, and actually that gap is creating agitation for me in very small ways and I'm not always conscious of, but I can get into that subtle layer now. Like, I feel like doing this work with you has enabled me to be conscious of those subtle layers. How do I sit with that difference? Is there anything I can do with that?
Yeah, that's beautiful, Anna. Yeah, I am approaching that in a very simple way. I'm seeing where I'm at right now and consider that I'm an unlimited being. I am connected to my unlimitedness, to my infinite, to my vastitude. And as a oneness consciousness, where I'm at now, even my furthest expansion would not be really the infinite unless I reach the infinite. So to get into my infinite, I would have to be staying in, the closest that I can be into in my infinite is staying in that momentum of expansion of infinite, because that's where I would touch that spark of infinite. It's very similar like the Fibonacci sequence. It goes like up to infinite, but you're never really getting to the infinite, but you're getting really close. And when you get really close, that infinite creates that spark that can connect you to your source. And that's really when the in the old temples or cathedrals, when they worked with Fibonacci sequence, with the golden mean spiral, they brought that infinite, that our spiritual infinity, into touch with ourselves. And whenever you go into these cathedrals and into these temples, your system is going to just feels expansion. And when we are in a conscious understanding that we are infinite beings, then everything that is based in finite thoughts is basically our limitation that we have to overcome. And whenever I cross and double check on a minute to minute basis, where are my thoughts right now? Are they in limitation or are they in expansion into the infinite? And every time I'm thinking limited is fear, is anger, is worry, frustration. These are all limited thought patterns that are really not connecting me to my infinite, because my infinite source, I know, is based on harmony, is based on balance, is based on compassion, on intuition and unconditional love. And if I'm not there in this moment, then, and this is a thought that I would like you to challenge yourself with. If I'm not in my full possession of my power in this moment, and I'm an unlimited, infinite energy being, who is doing what with my energy? And that's where entities come into play.
Perfect, Atana. That's good. Yeah.
Well,
someone's robbing me of my stuff.
Yeah, it was an interesting show. It was not the show I had actually plucked for today, but you know, I figured, hey, let me tell you about it because, like I said, it was kind of scary, but you definitely helped. Anna, I want to thank you for joining us from Australia, where it's summer and we're freezing over here in the U.S.
Thank you so much for having me. I love coming on here and speaking to you.
We love,
awesome having you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yep, if you want to reach Atana, 615-02-6950, or go to Atana, A-T-A-A-N-A, method.com. Thank you for joining us on the Atana Healing Method Energy Works Radio Show. I'm Lori Z, and we'll look forward to having you join us again next week for more information. Join us then.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, Atana. People of the world, let's stay.